Yom Kippur. He was in Israel because right after Sukkot, right after Yom Kippur, between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, one of his children got married. So he came to Gush Etzion. So he came to Israel for Yantif, and he came to daven here in the yeshiva for Yom Kippur. It's a very interesting story because he came with his family. His whole family came for the wedding. So, like, he called up the yeshiva or whoever he called and asked if he could come to Yom Kippur. And they said, "How many people are you?" So he said, "Around 30. Now, I don't know if you know what it's like here, Yom Kippur. You'll see what it's like, Yom Kippur. But then it was probably even more, probably than today, probably. So in the office, they said, "No, we can't have 30 people." Rav Lichtenstein was in the office, said, "Kavod HaTayir, whatever he wants, he gets." It was very impressive the way Rav Lichtenstein said, "Makes no difference what he wants, that's what he gets." So he came and he got Shlishi Yom Kippur. Getting Shlishi Yom Kippur, that's like, shoo. He got Shlishi Yom Kippur. Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Mital, they got Shlishi, and they had to, amazing how they had to work it out. It was very, why am I telling you this story? Because Matzah Yom Kippur, I asked Rav Shechter how you like the davening here. So he said, you know, the boys done with a lot of kavana, it looks very nice, the singing, but he was very disappointed. I said, "Why are you so disappointed?" He said, "One of the reasons he came here is because Rav Lichtenstein's the Rosh Hashiva. And he came here expecting that every single thing that the Rav talked about, the Minhagim of Rosh Hashanah, would be followed on the Yeshiva. Yom Kippur, and he wanted everything done." So he, at the time, did not understand that Rav Mital founded this yeshiva. He brought Rav Lichtenstein in. That's a whole story that you can read about in all the legends of the yeshiva. But the announcement was that Rav Lichtenstein said, "I need tkiyas done the way I want them. You want the davening, you take care of the davening." So Rav Lichtenstein gave in, and he said to Rav Mital, "You do whatever you want." So the minhagim of the Rav are generally not followed in this yeshiva by the yeshiva. And that's why Rav Shechter was disappointed. But the reason, of course, is because Rav Mital was the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Chalukah was so beautiful to watch that, you know, it's true that Rav Lichtenstein disagreed about the davening, and Rav Mital disagreed about the tekiyas. The past few years have been better. 20 years ago, Rav Lichtenstein used to go, "No." And nobody understood why no. "No." And go back from the beginning, "No." Rav Bik Nebuch blew like 180 kolos in Rosh Hashanah. and Rav Amital used to go. And he used to sit down. He was so tired of it, you know. But anyway, what I'd like to do is tell you a few minhagim of the Rav about Rosh Hashanah. There is a book that came out called Machzor of the Rav in Rosh Hashanah. I happen to know one of the fellows who was behind it, Mendy Gopin. And Mendy knew the Rav very well from Boston. He is from Boston. And he davened with Rav Rosh Hashanah Kippur. I never saw the Rav at all in Rosh Hashanah Kippur. But he davened in Boston. He lived in Boston. And he told me that he had a beautiful article. He had a lot of material about the Rosh Hashanah. And I read the article, and I get it. And I said, "Yeah, there are a lot of important things there. But to make a whole book out of it, I can't imagine making a book." So they printed a machzor called the Machzor HaRav. They put in a few paragraphs of, you know, about the Rav, a few things. And some explanations, everything else. I think it's very much padded, this matzor. Like, I just think, but there are some very nice points in it that's worth talking about. So I'm going to talk about some minhagim of Rosh Hashanah, and specifically about the davening of Rosh Hashanah, and I'm going to tell you in advance, a lot of this is found in Rav Shechter's various svarim, and other svarim. I used specifically for today, Nefesh HaRav. You can find a lot of the things that I'm going to say in Nefesh HaRav, but I'll elaborate more than it's written there, and in a book called Halichos HaGrach about Reb Chaim. So I'm going to start with a story that Herschel Rav Shechter wrote, but I was there when the Rav told the story, and I'm going to add a little bit to what it said here. The Rav told the story how a certain psychiatrist was a Baal Tshuva, became Baal Tshuva, very, very frum guy, and became a really, really, a very big intellectual, good psychiatrist. Came to the Rav after Rosh Hashanah Kippur, the first year he really, really davened. He said, "Rebbe, the davening is so beautiful. The expressions, the feelings, it's just such an experience. Except for one line in davening, I heard you're a very great rabbi. I want your authority to get it out of the machzor." So the Rav says, what line bothers you? "Uvechein tein pachtecha Hashem lokein v'al kol ma'asecha." the it says there to put fear into the hearts of people. I'm a psychiatrist. Fear is a very negative emotion. People today have such fears. You're afraid of. Some people might be afraid of falling. Some people might be afraid of their wives. Some afraid of their boss. Some afraid of the Arabs are going to announce a new state. Some people are afraid of a lot of things. So you're going to say to me, there's psychoses and neuroses and psychoses. I don't know what all the soses, but although they have all these things, and you're going to tell me we should also have fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Rav's answer, I remember the way, it's in the book, but I just remember the way where I've said it. So typical. I am not a psychiatrist, but I will explain to you that you are wrong. It doesn't mean that, you know, you have one psychosis and one neurosis and one this, and we're going to add another. That is really unhealthy. The whole idea is, if you have pachad of Hashem, there's nothing else to worry about. It removes all your problems. Because ain od milvado, you're totally, completely in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Britzoso marchi, britzoso makatzer. So it's a cure. Rav Schechter wrote this in his book, and I will say a vart, that I know there are some people, I really feel bad that some of you are standing and some of you are sitting on the floor. But believe me, it's worth standing here for 2 hours to hear what I'm going to tell you now. The Gemara says, in Kedusha and another place, that a certain person, as you know, explained every yes of the Torah. Until he came up to the Pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Did I ever tell you this before? Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. And what does Es Hashem Elokecha Tira mean? To include a Talmid Chacham. So that one he couldn't do. Now, I took this Gemara literally. I'm talking like, not me, but I took the Gemara literally. He explained every yes in the Torah until he got to Es Hashem Elokecha Tira. Who's my Baal Kriya? Where's the Pasuk Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? Where is it?
Akev.
So he asked, what do you do with the Pasuk if you have to Es Hashem Elokecha? That appears in Veschanan, that's before. So he must have explained that one. So if he explained that one, why didn't he explain Es Hashem Elokecha Tira? The answer is good. By the way, the Rush asked this question. The Rush asked this question. What do you do with the Pasuk V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha? But what's the Rav's answer? Who understood it already? V'ahavta Hashem Elokecha, I can include anybody in the world. Because I can love you and love them and love everybody. There's a limitless capacity for love. There's no stira between loving man and loving God. If I love man, I can love God. I love God, I can love man. Perhaps one is connected to the other. But the problem with Hashem Elokecha Tira, he felt there was a stira. If it's Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, it's Eino Milvado. How can I include anybody else? What's the answer? You can include a Talmid Chacham. Why? Because the Talmid Chacham is the connection you have with the Kodesh Baruch. How do I know that? That a Talmid Chacham is the connection with the Kodesh Baruch? Because it says, Lidabek b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says, how can you be dovek b'Kadosh Baruch Hu? Devek in Hebrew is from the word glue. We use glue for devek. Ech efshar lidabek b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara's answer is to be dovek to a Talmid Chacham. Being dovek to a Talmid Chacham is the closest we can come in our world to understand what it means lidabek b'Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's the embodiment of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in this world. Kevay Yochum. So, pull up a floor. I'm really sorry. But pachad, that's what the Rav said. But I want you to know the Rav is so brilliant that another time he said completely the opposite. He said, no, pachad's fine. Pachad's fine. His answer to the psychiatrist was on the spot. Another time he talked about the difference between pachad, but what pachad really means. And he equated pachad more with yira. He said there is a concept of pachad, of mamish fear. But he said, when we say we don't really mean what we call fear, we mean yira. How do I know that? Why did the Rav say it? Because it says, v'yira ucha kol ha-masim. So it doesn't mean v'yipachadu mincha kol ha-masim. So another time the Rav said differently. But that does not stop the original pshat, it's just a different idea. Second, the night of Rosh Hashanah is called in Chassidus, in, especially in Chabad, who knows?
Coronation.
Good. What did you call it?
Coronation of Hashem.
Yeah, but you called it
Coronatia.
Yeah, Coronatia Nacht. The night of the coronation of Ibn Hashanah. Kivayachal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not Melech HaOlam until we give him Kesa Meluch. The secret of, one of the biggest secrets of Rosh Hashanah is that we are Mamlich the Kadosh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah. The Rav used to say that there's a mitzvah to say Malchios, Zichronos and Shafaros. But there's a difference between Zichronos and Shafaros mitzad echad and Malchios on the other side. Zichronos and Shafaros is a mitzvah in Rosh Hashanah. Malchios is not a mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. It's the essence of Rosh Hashanah. The Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah is expressed through Malchios. Can anybody prove that? I don't care if you heard it before. Can anybody prove what I just said, that Malchios is the Kedushas Hayom, yeah? Good. I think what you said is perfect. In Rosh Hashanah at Musaf, every prayer, every Shemoneh Esrei, what we call Shemoneh Esrei, but it's not Shemoneh Esrei, has how many brachas on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Seven. Because you have three in the beginning, three at the end, and one in the middle, the bracha that's called Kedushas Hayom. So on Musaf, you have Malchias, Zichronos, and Shafaros. So how many brachas should there be in Musaf? There should be ten, but they're nine. Why they're nine? Because what you said is true. It's a machlokas in the Mishnah, by the way. But we pask in Kolel Malchias and Kedushas Hayom. You put Malchias together with the Kedushas Hayom. You put it in one bracha together. How can you do that? You don't put two ideas in one bracha. Never do you have a bracha. There are three exceptions, but every time you have an exception, you have to understand it. There's every time you have Malchias, every time you have a double bracha, the Rav used to call it a tuple tachasima. I love the word a tuple to. Double chasima. You had a double chasima. So it's got to be connected. So Melech HaKol Eretz Mekadesh Yisrael Yom HaZikaron, and the Rav said that is the Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah. Now there's a practical, halachic difference as well. Does anybody know that? What would be the practical difference? What would happen if a person in the night of Rosh Hashanah, or in Shachris, better, Shachris, in Rosh Hashanah would say, Baruch Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael, Yom HaZikaron. He forgot to say Malchias. He didn't say Zichronos and Shafaros either. Because we pass, and I'm minik is to say Zichronos and Shafaros only in Musaf. Do you know anybody with a different minik?
Yeah.
Who?
Sure.
Yeah? Balamar. The Balamar says, really, we should say Malchias, Zichronos and Shafaros in all the tefillos. But that's not our minik. We only say Zichronos and Shafaros in Musaf, but we don't say the other tefillos. Why? Because it's a din in Musaf. That's what we pass. It's a din in Shafar, together with a Shafar. So why do we say Malchias every tefillah? The answer is simple, because Malchias is Kedushas Hayom. So they should know that in Shulchan Aruch, in the Mefarshim, in the Shulchan Aruch, it says if a person skipped Malchias the night of Rosh Hashanah, in the Shachmas of Rosh Hashanah, he doesn't repeat Shema Nesrei. The Rav disagreed. It doesn't happen, right? It's not going to happen, because Baruch Hashem, we daven from Machzorim. By the way, Reb Chaim davened by heart in Rosh Hashanah Kippur. Reb Chaim felt that he had more kavanah if he davened by heart. Some people have more kavanah reading a siddur, and some people have more kavanah saying by heart. Reb Chaim felt that he had more kavanah closing his eyes and saying davening by heart. So he used to rehearse before Yom Tov, go over the siddur to make sure he knew it well by heart. The Vilna Gaon, for example, believed very much he should daven from a siddur. He used to say, it's a pasuk in Megillas Esther. Amar ma sefer, yashav machshav Torah. If you say with the sefer, then all the kavanas, the bad kavanas can go away. But the Vilna Gaon daven from a maksu. One night, the Rav gave a shiur one night. It was just before Pesach. He gave shiur in off the kitchen in YU. I don't know why. He gave a shiur there. And after the shiur, we went to have Merv. So the Rav said, but I don't have a siddur. I don't have a siddur. So the boy reaches into his pocket and gives a siddur to the Rav. And he told the Rav, here's my siddur. I said, all right, that's what you do. He says, I know it by heart. But the kid, you know, he didn't know what to say. And afterwards he realized what he said. Part of the idea that we make a bracha Malchias, that when we say, does anybody remember the words before the bracha of Malchias? We're just before the end of Malchias. Right? MS. Do you ever hear anybody else? Any other nesach? So if Rav Lichtenstein ben Mikra gets maftir, he gets maftir Yonah?
Yes.
Oh, so listen. Oh, do they say this at the Haftar? It's Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. If you say this at Mincha, I don't remember what the meaning of the yeshiva is. Machlokes Mechab and Ramah. If you say this at Mincha. But, I don't know, depends. Udvarcha Malkeinu MS, Vikayam La'ad. That's what the Rav said. Udvarcha Malkeinu MS. I forgot to give one more introduction. All the things I'm saying, don't think by any reason, any way that this is something I'm telling you should do or not do. I'm just telling you what the Rav did. But I don't think that means anything except right now. We're learning intellectually. It's to understand davening, to understand it. So why did the Rav say Dvarcha Malkeinu MS? Because otherwise, the last part of the bracha doesn't conform to the bracha. What's the bracha? Melech HaKol Aretz. Bekadesh Yisrael V'yom HaZikaron. Where do you have that? Where do you have any connection? A bracha, it's what's it called in Hebrew? Me'ein HaChasima. Bracha has to be Me'ein HaChasima. The last part of the bracha should be something to do with the bracha. So the Rav put the word in Dvarcha Malkeinu MS. It's not the Rav's original idea. Chabad did that. In the Siddur of Lubavitch, in the Ari Siddur, it says Dvarcha Malkeinu MS, but it fits in very well with the Rav's concept of Malchus and Rosh Hashanah. There's a Machlokas in Gemara. We say three psukim of Chumash, three psukim of what comes afterwards. In Malchus, what do we do? Three psukim of Chumash, three psukim of Ksuvim, and three psukim of Nach. Anybody know why you did that order? It should be the other order, right? Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. Look it up. It's a run in Rosh Hashanah that explains it, discusses it. But in the meantime, we have a backwards order. We say three psukim of Torah. What are three psukim we say? Do anybody remember? The three psukim of Malchus? Between now and Rosh Hashanah, find out. We say the psukim of Malchus. There's a discussion in Gemara. Can you count Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad as one of the psukim of Malchus? There's a discussion in Gemara. What do we do?
Say it at the end.
Do we use it as one of the three? No. We end with Vesarascha Kasuv Leimar Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. But we don't use it as the Malchus. Why not? Did you daven this morning? Yeah, rhetorical question. Did you say Kriya Shema this morning? That's a rhetorical question. That I knew the answer, right? The next part, I don't know the answer. Were you Mekabel Amach Shemaim the way you're supposed to? That I don't know. I hope so. How we Mekabel Amach Shemaim? So we, our minhag is by saying Kriya Shema. So Kabbalah's on Malchus Shemaim is saying Kriya Shema. Isn't that the essence of Malchus Shemaim? Of saying Shema Yisrael? So why should it be in Machlokas and Gemara? Why should there be a discussion of Shema Yisrael Shemur Shemur as a pasuk that could have Malchus when that is Malchus? That's Malchus of Kabbalah Samach Shemaim. Anybody want to suggest the answer? So Rav explained the answer. Malchus, there, when I talk about God being king, I can say Lahavdila, when you talk about a secular world, I can talk two ways. There is a queen in England. She is a queen in England. I can acknowledge the fact that she's a queen in England. When it comes time for her to abdicate and give the kingdom to her son, which of course is going to happen any day. He's been waiting for, how many years has he been waiting that book? How many years has she been queen? She's the longest reigning queen in history, I think. Yeah. So, and her son Nebuch is, you know, getting old and doesn't look like he'll ever be king. But if she did, so then you would announce, we are now crowning the king, we're now coronating the king, we're now announcing a new king. So there's a big difference between saying a person is king and coronating the king. All year round, what you do is you accept Malchus Shemayim. I'm saying God's king. Yeah, God's king. That's true. And I'm Mekabel Malchus Shemayim, but he was king Kivayochel yesterday, and he's king today. And today I'm Mekabel Malchus Shemayim. In Malchus, it's different. What do we do in Malchus? We actually say Kivayochel. It's a secret. The Rav Schechter wrote in these words, in the name of the Rav, that it's a secret. It's hard to understand how it's done, but nevertheless, it's done. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the power that we determine Kivayochel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaOlam. If there's no one to determine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech, then he doesn't become king. That's an interesting concept. That Kodesh Baruch Hu becomes Melech HaOlam because men coronate him. When did Kodesh Baruch Hu actually become Melech HaOlam then?
When he created Adam.
What day was that?
Rosh Hashanah.
No, yeah, I'm not talking about that. Creation. It was Friday, right? What's the Shir Shayom of Friday?
Hashem Malach.
Why is that Hashem Malach? Because that's when Hashem became king, on Friday. Hashem Malach. So I'm going to let you go because I want you to go to Rav Moshe on time. You have to run. But the secret of this is that Kodesh Baruch Hu really the king of the world? Yes, the answer is Kodesh Baruch Hu is really king of the world. Because in concept, in idea, in what we call pure platonic ideals, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is always the Melech, always. But Lemaise doesn't become Melech until we coronate him. So that's what you say when you sing Adon Olam, right? Adon Olam, Asher Malach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nikra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayochel is king before man was created. Le'et Na'asa B'Chefzo Kol. But when things were done by his will, Azai Melech, then he's called king. It's the first time he's called king. That's when he really becomes king. Next Thursday, I don't think I'll be here. So, Shana Tova, Gemar Chasima Tova, everything else well. And you have 3.5 minutes. You guys can make it.